Blog Talk Radio.
We Gate Sports City. We're back in the front. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay. Let's go, Sports City. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. I am feeling some type of way. It was a crazy Saturday already popped off. I can't wait to get into some topics already before we jump into week 8. Let me get this thing started with one of my co-hosts that's here right now as we try to get this thing started. And a lot of the people start to try to call in, calling in by way of Connecticut. We have Aaron G in the building. Aaron, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, you know how I'm feeling. I'm feeling really good. I'm ready to go. I'm excited for a big day of football, but was loving some of the action I saw yesterday. Hail to the victors. Was great to see Michigan just blow out Notre Dame, who no one gave a chance in the Big House last night, and that's got me feeling some type of way and ready to talk some football. So hope everyone else out there is feeling as good this morning.
She's taking a dig at me, Sports City, because I was the one telling her they have no shot against Notre Dame. So I'm in trouble with egg on my face again. It's something about when I get around the whole crew that I got something to apologize about. But we will get into this show as best as possible. Calling in by way of Connecticut as well, we have Jose in the building. Jose, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I see dead people.
I'm feeling good as well. Thank you, Todd, for having me. Penn State won again. Looking really good. Oklahoma lost.
Hey, hand out of my pot. All I'm asking, I'm trying to get a good introduction out of it to you. I ask how people are doing. They start getting into my pot. I got people taking hors d'oeuvres off of my tray. Sit down in the kitchen. Sit down. You will be fed. These people are hungry all the time. I'm not even introducing these people no more. I'm going to just get into the show and do what we need to do. And they just start reaching, grabbing pots. Like, they know that their mothers used to pop their hands if they reached in the pot and started acting crazy. So treat this kitchen like the normal kitchen. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So let me get into this.
I'm seeing ghosts. Go ahead.
You're seeing ghosts? Oh, goodness. There we go. Up. Jose. I'm leaving it alone. Okay, so Sports City, before I get into the top 25 roundup and how things went down this past Saturday, the thing that has me out of my skin right now is this World Series. I cannot lie. Now, this is the first time, and I'm not going to lie, I feel like this is the most entertaining World Series that I've ever seen. Nobody has home field advantage. I don't care how this goes down. They play Game 5 tonight, 8:07 p.m. Eastern Standard, in which the first two games Washington went into Houston, stole them. And it looked like everything was going to the Nationals. I'm not going to lie, after they won those first two games, I was like, Houston is going to get swept. I don't know how Houston will, you know, revitalize the situation, how they bounce back. They took care of Verlander, too. They took care of Cole down there. I was like, all they have to do is go home, feed off of the crowd in D.C., and just win Game 3 and just be ready for Game 4 to just jump all over the field. Well, Houston said, not so fast, my friend. They went right into D.C. and stole those two games right back and put a lot of pressure back on the Washington Nationals, in which this Game 5 is still in D.C., in which they have to take care of business. But if Houston – this is the pivotal game. I mean, it's tough.
You think?
I really feel like this can go seven, but this is the pivotal game. I don't know who to have faith in right now, but this is awesome stuff. Bregman with a big grand slam last night. This offense finally found themselves, and they had to get away from Texas to start hitting the ball. I'll go around the kitchen and get your guys' thoughts on how this World Series is going. Like, from recent history, have you ever seen this much back and forth in a World Series? Is this one of the more impressive series that you've seen? Aaron, I'll start with you first.
It's definitely got my interest. I mean, I'd say it's probably the most compelling World Series since the Cubs won. Even Chicago fans, I think, were drawn into that one. I remember where I was when they won that World Series. So it's definitely been a couple years. I think we discussed this the other night. I did not see Washington sweeping Houston. I think their pitching's too good. They have too many veterans on that team. I thought the team would either rally around the situation that went down with the assistant GM, or it would cause some drama, kind of fracture the team, and it would affect them on the field. But I did call Washington in six. I had said that Houston's pitching is just too good for them to get swept. I do think the ironic thing about this series is all the focus was on the pitching coming into the start, coming into game one, and how it's really been the hitters that are stepping up in this series and putting up all these crooked numbers that we expected to see maybe last round, but not as much in this World Series with the quality of these pitchers. I agree with you with the home field advantage. I do not know what is going on there, but I'm going to keep with what I said the other day, and I think Washington gets back on track, wins these next two games, and wins the World Series in six.
This is must-see TV. I wonder if they do steal these next two games. This would be impressive if you do call this and them cleaning up in Houston. Regardless, they have to go to Houston and steal it. But nobody's safe. This game five, nobody's safe. I don't believe it. Either team is like, both of them are not even using the home crowd to like get out of their skin and play good ball. But Houston, especially the way that they're winning, the past two games they held Washington to two runs, a run a game. Like, that's it. Like, they've shut the door on them and basically took the life out of them for these last two games. So this is going to be impressive. So, Jose, your thoughts on this World Series? If you caught anything, your thoughts on what's going down thus far?
I'm excited that these World Series have won thus far. I do think it's going to continue like that because of Cole. He has not lost two back-to-back games since April. So I think the Nationals have the work cut out for them, even though they have Scherzer on the mound. I've never made a predicament on this series. I wasn't too excited about it because it was a big favorite for Houston, but it has turned out to be a great series. But I think that Houston's going to take it with the experience. They've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. I think they will win in six games.
So you Houston's going to win tonight and the next game, which will be Tuesday.
Yeah, Cole has lost back-to-back starts since April. Let's look at the stats. He hasn't lost back-to-back starts since April. I think it's like April 15th. So what do you think
about that? It's the playoffs, though. Crazy. It's the playoffs. Crazy things happen. You had Aldonis Chapman get taken for a ride to end that last series, and if you had asked me to put money on it, I'm just saying crazy things happen. Case in point, no one thought Cole would go and lose the last game. The weather's changing, different type of year, different type of pressure, and you and I just can't get on the same page, man, because I'm going to roll with my Washington pick, so we'll see.
We will, but if this game,
that in the best possible way.
Bullpen and closure, it's going to go down to the Astros. They have much more experience at those level positions.
I agree with you there. I just, I also picked Washington the other night, and I'm not going to be one of those people that just because they had a couple rough games, jump ship and does a 180 2 days later. So part of this is just me rolling with my original pick. And I do love, I don't have a lot invested in this World Series. I do not, we don't need to go into depth about the little story that came out of that locker room. I was already pro-Washington just because I love a good underdog. And I'm so sick of all the politics coming out of that town, so it's nice to have the focus be on something else for a couple days. But Houston is talented, and it's going to be a tough ask for Washington to win these next two games. But it's two games, and I think they got it.
Very interesting. It's already heated up in the kitchen. At least I'm trying to hear some type of peace treaty between these AFC East rivals and Big Ten rivals. I got these two going at it almost
every
time.
How about a mutual respect?
Right.
I don't know about a peace treaty. I don't know that you'll ever get that between a Jets and a Pats fan and a Nittany Lion and a Wolverine, but
all it really is two great sport fans, and we just grew up at different fans. We still love sports and have different opinions. I mean, we're gonna have the same opinions later on or today or tomorrow. You know, it's just like that. I'm just glad that we're in rival with in the AFC East with the Big Ten. It makes everything fun.
And I'm all for the Nittany Lions right now because when we go and host Ohio State a week after they beat the Nittany Lions, that strength of schedule, it's going to help explain that loss. So I had no problem with I did think they might lose yesterday. I'm not going to get into college, Ty, don't worry. But, yeah, it's fun having you, you know,
back,
having you to talk to about this stuff,
back,
and we'll
back,
see.
We have
back,
to get it to college.
Get back. Both of you get back. Both of you get in your seats right now. Right now. All I did was ask about the World Series. They are already digging in the pocket. I'm going to have to start muting people. I don't want to have to do it to you. I haven't muted people in a while. I might have to start doing it around here. And it's bad that I'm right here in Connecticut and got this beef going on right here in Connecticut. And I'm going to have these two meet each other right now and have a fight somewhere in the middle of the street. Just get it on. Jets, Patriots, Nittany Lions, and Wolverines. I just got to see it, man. Enough is enough. I'm trying to be peaceful. I really am. Okay, so I'm going to get it to the top 25 on how things went down throughout this week. And I'm going to just do this one quickly, Sports City. What I'm about to say is going to be done quickly. I know we're going to talk about the top 25, but I'm happy that Miami finally got a doggone win. I was already screaming for Manny Diaz's head. I was like, there's no way they're going to go into Pittsburgh and win after they struggled the past two or three seasons playing the Panthers, including 2 years ago when Miami was undefeated, 11-0, going into Pittsburgh. All they had to do was win that game. They'd have been in the playoff contention. They lose bad up against Pittsburgh, and then last year Pittsburgh beat them as well. I was like, Pittsburgh got our number. And, of course, Pittsburgh had the lead late, and Miami scores a touchdown with seconds on the clock, basically a buzzer beater, and held Pittsburgh to shut the door on them. And the turnover chain was out and about, and Florida State also won their game yesterday up against Syracuse in blowout form. So it sets up for the big rivalry game this upcoming Saturday, Miami traveling to Florida State, and that's one of the rivalries that still gets me goosebumps every time we play. I don't care how it looks, and guess what? Both teams are struggling. Both teams are 4-4. So it just sets the rivalry up even more, but one of those better rivalries in college football. To me, I feel like it's the best, but everybody will say Ohio State, Michigan, or USC, LA. So I'm Florida State, Miami. I'm the factory versus the Seminoles. We already know. But let me get into the top 25. First and foremost, starting out with Thursday evening, SMU in a nail-biting situation holds on to win their game 34-31, and Houston was making a late charge in that game. Starting out Saturday, Alabama takes care of business up against Arkansas, 48-7. Mac Jones throws three touchdowns. Tua's little brother got in the game and played a little bit too. So this is interesting to see another one of his family members. I don't even try to break down Tua's last name, even though I try. I always mess it up. And that's one name I have to get right. And I'm good with my pronunciation, but I can't get Tua's last name right. However, respect to the family. But Alabama cruises 48-7. LSU wins their game 23-20 up against Auburn. I am very high on LSU. I will talk about that after I finish this rundown about how I feel about LSU. Shout out to Aaron on this one, too. Ohio State wins their game up against Wisconsin 38-7. I am stunned. I really felt like Ohio State would win this game, but I didn't think that they would shut the door with Wisconsin. Wisconsin looked like they were going to be shut out. They scored in the third quarter. And slowing down Taylor as well. This was a big game for Ohio State. I give them credit for beating them by five possessions in this one, to be honest. Clemson cruises up against Boston College 59-7. I feel like they've taken a lot of their criticism personally and took it out on Boston College. I'm sorry, Golden Eagles, that you were in the path of those Tigers. The upset of the day, I feel some type of way. Kansas State wins in Manhattan, Kansas, up against Oklahoma in a Big 12 rivalry, one of those basketball games again, 48-41, in which I feel bad in saying this, Jalen Hurts, your stock may have hurt for the Heisman Trophy, even though you guys had a late situation with a onside kick, and it went 9.5 yards, and it bumped off of one of the Oklahoma players, but he was blocked into the ball. He was blocked into the ball, but however it touched him, and the rule states that that's illegal touching, and I understand the rule. I understand the letter of the law. Kansas State wins that game 48-41. Finally, an upset in the Big 12. Penn State cruises up against Michigan State, winning 28-7. They had the lead from get-go, went into halftime up 21-0. Michigan State and Coach D'Antonio, I don't know, you may end up losing your job the way things are looking in Michigan State. I hope you can turn this around, at least close out the season as best as possible. The other upset of the day, Notre Dame gets bashed 45-14, in which the Big House was rocking. I can't believe Notre Dame didn't score until halftime. I don't know what was going on with Ian Book. There wasn't even a big day out of Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson only threw for 100 yards, but still had 2 touchdowns thrown. That's at least enough to keep the game tied. But they cruised in winning this one by 31 up against Notre Dame, who was a top 10 team. Michigan has not won up against a top 10 team in quite some time. Especially winning by more than 30 points, too, was a stat on that as well. Oregon, this was the nightcapper. Oregon took care of business up against Washington State, winning 37-35. They were going back and forth scoring late in this game. This was one of those get-your-popcorn games ready. C.J. Verdell, he was going off, had a 250-yard rushing day. Shout-out to Oregon. They will probably crack the top 10 after the loss happened to Notre Dame. Utah shuts out Cal 35-0. In Utah, I'm wondering if Utah can make a case or probably sit at 11 or 10. We'll see how things pan out. Another big upset of the day, TCU takes care of business up against Texas, 37-27. I think this will drop Texas probably into the 20s. We'll see where they end up ranking after this loss because TCU was unranked. But this is an in-state rivalry, so I wonder how the committee looks at this. This next team and game that I'm going to talk about, I am showing consideration to. I've been watching them after the first four games when they took care of business, but right now I am awake. Minnesota wins their game up against Maryland 52-10, in which they are 8-0 right now in the Big Ten, but not getting the consideration they should, at least I think. They should be getting more consideration, but I feel like their strength of schedule, they haven't played any of the Big Ten top teams, so I feel like once they get closer to the end of the schedule and they start to play the better teams in their schedule, I feel like things will start to pan out. But they deserve their consideration at this point in time and beating this team by 6 touchdowns. I mean, Maryland started out hot. They're not the same team we've seen in the first 2 or 3 weeks, but Minnesota, I think I'm awake, at least me. I don't know if the committee looks at it the same way, but I'm awake. Iowa shuts out Northwestern in Illinois 20-0. Take care of business up against the Wildcats. Appalachian State, they're undefeated as well, 30-3, up against South Alabama. Oklahoma State with an upset in Iowa State, 34-27. Another interesting game in the Big 12. And last but not least, UCLA takes care of business up against Herm Edwards, Arizona State Sun Devils, 42-32, in which I thought Arizona State would shut the door on UCLA. UCLA was 2-5 going into this game and improving to 3-5. So that, to me, is an upset, especially the way that Arizona State has been playing this year, too. So that is the top 25. I want to see how you guys feel before we start jumping into this week's rundown for Week 8 in the NFL.
All right. Well, first of all, I'd like you to maybe roll it back to my first show here where I gave Minnesota a shout-out, and I told y'all to watch out for those Golden Gophers. And, again, they can only play who they play. Don't get me started on how lopsided those divisions are in the Big Ten. I think it's a joke, but they are now 2 games ahead of any other team in their division. Like you said, they've got a lot to prove the rest of the season, but they're definitely a team to keep an eye on, as I mentioned and agree with you, Ty. I also think that Oregon was really badly hurt by the Auburn loss. They are barely winning these games. It looks like they will come out of the Pac-12. My question then becomes, does a one-loss Oregon team that is squeaking by these opponents out in the Pac-12 get into the playoffs over a potential two-loss champion from a Power Five conference? For example, perhaps a Michigan runs the table, beats Ohio State, then goes and beats Minnesota or has a rematch against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, ends the season with two losses. I just see something like that shaping up. So I think there's a lot of interesting stuff to come. I'm still riding high from that Michigan game. I think y'all know how I feel about that. I did call it too. I stood by my team, definitely have my heart in it. So it's not totally an analytical pick, but there's something that happened at the halftime of that Penn State game. And thank goodness your boys got out to that 21-0 lead, because ever since they went into that locker room, that has been a different team. And if they can keep this identity, I think they need to keep the ball out of Shea Patterson's hands as much as possible. Like you said last night, he only threw 100 yards, only threw, I think, 12 passes. I do not think he's a big-game quarterback. I actually like his backup with a huge arm. But we got a lot of fun stuff coming up for the college football season. And the bailout for Burrow still is my Heisman pick. I think he's really impressive what he's doing in LSU. And I picked LSU a while ago. I'm going to ride with them. And I know Clemson's playing angry, but they still have a lot to prove. Unfortunately, probably won't happen until they get into the playoffs. But I think people are starting to realize that, you know, they're not as reliable as we once thought they were.
Very interesting. And looking at Minnesota's remaining schedule, thank goodness that they took care of business up against Maryland this weekend, because the next Saturday they have a bye, in which after the bye week, they're at home up against Penn State. So the pressure would be on both of them if Penn State can take care of business this upcoming week. And then going into Minnesota, they follow that game up, going into Iowa up against the Hawkeyes. That is a tough place to play in. Hopefully, if they're hanging on to winning, they can. They follow that up against Northwestern. And then they end the season at home up against Wisconsin, which right now, Wisconsin is looking shaky, baby, after their last two games, losing up against Ohio State and also losing last week up against the Fighting Illini, which I think puts a big dent in how the committee looks at them, at least in this upcoming Monday, on the way they view them. Jose, your thoughts on the top 25 before we get moving?
Well, I was going to bring up, too, that Minnesota, look at the schedule. If they play at home versus Penn State, if they could find some way to have an upset, then all this stuff about them being a part of the talk, it should be a part of the talk if they beat a ranked contender. No, but I honestly want to put this week past us. I want to just bring up a situation. This is kind of the first year that a one-team loss, it looks like it automatically is going to happen. A one-loss team is going to make it, just because almost every team has a bye week next week, and there's going to be a one versus a two showdown. And if Penn State perhaps for some reason wins that game at Minnesota, then there's a showdown between three versus four. Then there's no
problem. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's already, I'm looking in the future to see. So if Minnesota could win, and if Penn State could win, they're automatically in the top four rank for 1 week before they play Ohio State, because the one or two will most likely drop.
Are you concerned about that being a potential trap game for your boys with Ohio State coming up the next week, or do you think that they're paying attention to Minnesota and they'll be ready?
I think that it's not a trap game. I think the Ohio State is a trap game because their history with them. A couple years back, they beat them and they were ranked number five overall, and they just missed the playoffs. It's just the same kind of situation. So, and remember when Ohio State beat Penn State at the end and made them rank five? It just sucks. Hopefully, this is the opposite this year where we're ranked number three and they're number five, you know, with one loss. It's looking real good for Penn State. They're playing real good. But let's bring up Clifford, the big red dog. Let's look at his numbers. He threw less than one thing. Their defense is putting in work, and you know, their running back is putting in work. So,
I like that tight end you guys have.
I'm sorry?
Sorry to interrupt. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that tight end you guys have, number 87, yeah. I like him too. He's a big boy. He's a sophomore. That boy can play.
I think they were calling him Baby Gronk. Wasn't they calling him Baby Gronk?
They were. Which that kind of makes me laugh. It's like, let's chill a little bit, boys. He's a sophomore. He's having a great game. But Gronk, he is not. He just happens to wear the same number. But I get they're looking for TV talk. But, I mean, I like the way he played. He gets yards after the catch. Let's just say there's a potential to go down the Gronk-like path for that guy. But he's got a lot of work to do first.
Yeah. Well,
Patrick Smith is his name. That's number 87.
Yes.
Patrick Smith. But looking at the remaining schedule for Penn State, I mean, Penn State has an interesting run as well with and it's actually loading for me. I had it up here. Okay, so they have Minnesota. Indiana has been playing up and down. We don't know what Indiana team they're going to have, but that is in Penn State. Penn State will be home for that game. Then they go to the queue up against Ohio State on the 23rd of November. So this is going to be I just want to see how November 9th goes down because they both actually have a bye. Penn State has a bye going into that game too, so they both will be fresh. And it's in Minnesota, so Penn State is going to have to prove themselves once again on the road. And if Penn State wins this game, they just got to keep cruising until that Ohio State game. But if Minnesota wins this game, the committee, I'm looking at you guys. You have to give Minnesota credit. Like, you cannot keep these guys under 12 under 15.
I agree. I mean, I'm thinking if they beat Penn State, I think this team runs the table. So what do you do at the end of the season if you've got an undefeated Minnesota team? I know there's the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis, but I think if they get through Penn State and they can upset that team, and Penn State looks amazing coming out of the gate. But the last couple of games, they're a first-half team, and I don't know if it's because they built big leads and they're just playing – you know, a little bit more cautious football, but they haven't exactly played a 60-minute game. And like I said, I've had my eye on Minnesota, but it is not unheard of that they go into that Big Ten championship undefeated. And if Michigan finds a way to get through or one of those other teams, and then it's really a mess for the committee. But I agree, give them respect. It's just like they say about Alabama, Clemson. They're not beating, Alabama plays in the SEC, so forget what I said. I'm talking about their non-conference schedule. But Clemson and those teams are made excuses for their schedule, and Minnesota can only play who they play, and they are not beating teams. They are crushing teams. So I absolutely hope to see them make a big jump this week. I really think it's about time. Otherwise, it's pretty clear that they're also factoring in the program's history, which should have nothing to do when these voters and pollers cast their votes and give credit to teams.
But can I say one more thing? But for the committee, bottom line is, even if Minnesota runs the table, all right, against Wisconsin and Penn State, are they better than a one-loss Alabama or a one-loss LSU because they do face off, or a one-loss Ohio State? Or you never know. Are they going to be better than those teams? I just don't think if they beat Ohio State, then they beat them.
And that game.
You're right. Because after they play Wisconsin, they got to play for the title game. You're right. You're right.
I'm calling them undefeated if they beat Penn State until that game. Like I said, do not get me into the discussion about how unbalanced those conferences are. It's a joke. You've got Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State all have to play each other every year. You got Wisconsin chilling on the other side. So I do think that whoever comes out of that side of the Big Ten is going to win the Big Ten championship. But if Minnesota beats Penn State, I want to make that clear. If they find a way to win that game, I think they run the table through the regular season.
Wisconsin's going to be the spoilers, though, for them. I feel like, you know, they're going to be angry. They're not in it. They have two bad losses. They're going to be upset about that. They're going to try to take it away from them. Just be fair about that. That's going to be the toughest
thing. Yeah, I'm interested to see how Wisconsin comes out, yeah, the rest of the season. But I think you have a good point there.
Okay, we're going to get into the NFL picks for week 8 and try to do this as smoothly as possible. We have an hour left into the show. The call number is 929-477-2759. I'm pretty sure we have James Greenwood in the building. James, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. Your Skype, our Blog Talk Radio Skype application needs some work. But I mean, at the end of the day, I do want to add just one thing before we get into the NFL. If a team goes undefeated, they should get the opportunity to play in the playoffs, especially if they're in a major conference. It should never be a question of who the best team is, because you can only play who you can play, and that kind of, I find that a bit gross. If you're undefeated, you should make the playoffs, and if there's five teams that are undefeated, then we can start having that conversation of which one's better and which one would be more interesting for the fans. But if you're undefeated and if you are undefeated, there should never be a team that's not undefeated in the playoffs over you.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's have a little fun. Now, I'm only going to spend 5 minutes on this for today. I'm not going to have too much fun with it. I might get them too revved up. But you already have Appalachian State that's undefeated. You have Minnesota that's undefeated. You have SMU that's undefeated. You have Baylor that's undefeated. That's four that's out of the top 10 right now that's undefeated. That's outside of the top 10.
But only one of those is a part of a major conference, though.
Right, but they're part of the top 25, though. This is the same way that I looked at Boise State. Boise State was running their schedule for the past, before, I want to say 2 years before this. They were running their schedule for the past 4 years before they lost. They were running year after year after year, going 13-0 winning the bowl game, 13-0 winning the bowl game. We weren't even getting considered because they play out in the Mountain West somewhere. Like, and it was bad for them. And then you look at the same situation I think UCF, when they had Frost running the show, and the UCF won 3 years in a row when they had the Twins there, and the Twins had that story behind them, and they were running the table, but weren't getting any consideration talking about they're not playing anybody in the conference. They're doing what they can, but then you're faced with a situation. Alabama's undefeated. LSU is undefeated. Ohio State is undefeated. Clemson is undefeated. Oklahoma just fell, but Penn State is undefeated. Like, that's five. So you got nine that could potentially sit still.
And you got Baylor.
No, I already counted Baylor. That was outside of the top 10 that I was saying that's undefeated. So
Okay. I'm just saying in a major Power 5. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, true. And that's in the Big 12. And to me, I don't like giving credit to the Big 12 because they don't play any defense, like none of them teams. Like, it's like, okay, your turn. Take the ball and go downfield. No, your turn. Take the ball to go downfield. Like, that's how I look at the Big 12. Like, seriously. Like every one of them scores is crazy like that. Like, every time. Even in a game where – I felt like Texas should have shut the door on Kansas. And Kansas put up a 48-point effort in Austin. And Texas still had to end up coming back and winning that game 50-48. But, like, just like, none of y'all play defense. None of y'all. So I look at the Big 12 differently. But this is going to be interesting because I know some of these teams are going to start going at each other. Alabama, LSU have to match up. Ohio State and Penn State are going to have to go at it. And Minnesota jumps in here, too. So somebody's going to get their head knocked off sooner or later. So it will start to pan out, but I just don't like the way that they will look at you because of your strength of schedule. Like, well, you didn't know that this team was going to come out this hot, and then if they do, they're punished because of the way that you set the schedule up. So, I don't know.
Well, here's the question. Sorry, Ty. I keep interrupting you, my bad. My question for James,
sure,
and like here's where you start to have an issue is I think we're all in agreement. I think this whole show we've been agreeing that if you're undefeated, you win your conference championship. You're undefeated coming out of a Power 5. I agree with you on the Big 12, but it is the Big 12. There are some great programs in there, but if you're undefeated coming out of there, you should be in the playoff. No debate. I think the issue becomes when you have these teams like Ty mentioned. You have an SMU. For example, Appalachian State, who still pains me to like even think about them, but you have one of them go undefeated, and they come up against a one-loss Big Ten or one-loss SEC team. That's where I think you have the real issue, the real debate, and where it's harder to just say without any subtext that if you're undefeated, you're in.
So what my argument would be for that is, if that's going to be the thought process going in, then they should create a second NCAA playoffs. But one for the top, the Power Five conferences, and one for the rest for everybody else. Because really, at this point, the standards are so much higher for a non-Power Five conference to get in that it becomes to the point where it is nigh on impossible to not for one of these teams to get in. So make a separate playoffs and work with it that way.
Well,
they
not even making a separate playoff. I think more or less just having 10 teams. If they have 10 teams, then they could nip a lot of this in the butt and get some of those one-loss teams that are powerhouses that slip somewhere in their schedule. I think that's something that they can do.
But y'all are forgetting something. Y'all are forgetting something with these extra games. It is so difficult. One, you can't ask these kids, if you have 10 teams, I don't know how you work that with two plays in games or what. I mean, I could see maybe adding one extra game, you know, maybe you add a play-in game somehow or something like that, but you've got to then get TV coordinated. You've got, these are kids over holidays who have school, you know, you cannot start adding. And that's the, I would love to see an 18 playoff, but I just don't.
We already have six right now. What is six? Like, six going to turn to eight in like 10 years. Eight is going to turn to 10 in 10 years.
Technically, they've got four.
You have to do eight teams because it goes from eight to four to two to one. That's the only number that would make sense. They wouldn't go to six. They wouldn't go to ten. You get what I'm saying?
The only way I think it makes sense is you add a play-in game. You give the top two teams a bye. You're not adding a lot of
time, like the NFL kind of structure.
Yeah. So then you can add.
But we already have the bowl game. So I mean, we are already pulling these kids out of school to play football anyway. Why not?
No, but I understand there being a higher gravitas to it.
Because I'm saying the way the playoffs are structured,
most of the bowl games are done before the holidays are over the holiday break. Most of those bowl games are completed before the kids are back in school for the second semester. The playoffs are typically begin right around when these kids are going back to school. So you'd either have to push back the start date, and then remember, college football schedules their structure around the NFL, so they're not competing big game against big game, and that is exactly why it's played and set up, and the TV contracts are the way they are. So I'm just saying, as a fan, I would love to see it, and I think everyone would, and that was the big debate when it started. But realistically, it'd be very difficult is all I'm saying. And at the end of the day, I do worry that in college sports, we are starting to lose sight of the fact that these are 18 to 22-year-old kids. They're kids. They're young. They're not commodities. They're not dollar signs. And so before we wrap this up and get the NFL, I just think that's what we have to not lose sight of as we go forward in all of this. But, I mean, we could spend hours discussing the structure of the NCAA playoff and what's wrong with it.
Okay. Well, we're going to get away from it. You guys have to bring your tail to another show so we can start mixing stuff up, because you're not going to keep loading up my dog on week 8 and week 9 and week 10, and I'm rushing to get up out of here. So we are going to get into this stuff. But see, it's already heating up in the kitchen, and they're already in my pot. So I got to get them out of these pots as much as possible. Now, week 8 is amongst us. There's already been a game that went by on Thursday, which I really feel like everybody in the kitchen would have picked the Vikings to win that game, in which during the game they had an in-game situation where they put the cameras on AP, and Adrian Peterson got acknowledged, and he got emotional, and he deserves it. Like even though he's a division rival of mine, I've seen a lot of his career. Two times a season, definitely, watching Adrian Peterson go crazy. And just seeing how they are now compared to the way that they were when he was there, Dalvin Cook has been an awesome running back in their system, and to me is a part of this MVP talk as well. But they took care of business with the one touchdown by Dalvin Cook, 19-9. The Redskins are having their quarterback issues. I don't know if they are going to remain with Haskins for the remainder of the season, but they ended up putting him in. I think this will end up being the way that things are going to happen with Callahan and such how it's going to run in D.C. I'm wondering if they do end up picking up another win throughout the schedule, but we'll see. Vikings win that game 19-9. Let's get into the games that are taking place. The first game that I have is the Seattle Seahawks going into the A up against the Atlanta Falcons, in which Matty Ice is out for the game. Seahawks versus Falcons, let me start this one up. Aaron, you're first. Who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy player?
All right, well, I'm going to be quick. As y'all who were listening last week heard, I think the Falcons are done. I think they have a massive hangover from the Super Bowl. I said if they lose last week, they should clean house. It got even uglier with Matty Ice going down. I would keep him on ice as much as possible for the rest of the season. He still has a lot of games left in him, and he is your franchise. But I think this is just a disaster. I think the sooner they get rid of Dan Quinn, I think you're going to see them get rid of a lot of players come that trade deadline. It says a lot to me that they got rid of Sanu to New England, who had been trying to get Sanu from the Falcons for the last couple of years. So that tells me something, that at this point they finally said, all right, he's yours, here you go. When in the past couple of years they had said, no way, get out of here, he's ours. I do not expect the Falcons. I think they'll play with a little bit of heart. I think anytime you have a backup like Schaub going in there, you know, he's playing for a job. He's playing for a roster spot. So I think he's going to go and treat it like it's the Super Bowl. But the Falcons are just it's hard to find anything positive to say about them or their season. So I'm picking the Seahawks in a potential blowout. I do think that Russell Wilson is just going to decimate this defense. I think it's going to be frightening. I think he's going to put up, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns if he wants to, unless they decide to give the ball to Carson. And I'm looking at DJ Metcalf to just have a big game, blowing by, just won't even need to run routes. It'll just be straight go, you know, a sprint to the finish line, and I expect him to have a big day in fantasy.
Wow. Okay. James, who do you like in this matchup? Seahawks or Falcons, and your fantasy player?
I'm right there with everything she said. I don't agree with the idea that the Falcons need a complete rebuild, but I am totally on board with getting rid of the entire coaching staff and rebuilding from a very strong base that they have currently as far as player base. I'm taking Seattle. I'll take Chris Carson. You should be probably starting him anyway, but he's totally the top guy for fantasy this week in this game.
Jose, who do you like in this matchup of the Birds, the Seahawks or the Falcons?
Yeah, there's not much to say about this one. No Matt Ryan. Sanu got traded. This is going to be a field day for Seattle, pretty much. That's the way I look at it. I agree with everything Aaron says. It's going to be a blowout, and you got to take Seattle's defense today. It's a lock.
I like that. I like that pick. I like the Seahawks in this one, and it's sad, and I feel like I'm being booed in Sports City, and I kind of have to do this, that Matty Ice is out, and they're going with Matt Schaub again. Like, this is Matt Schaub's second or third stint with this team, and he's the backup. Like, wait, what's going on? I feel like, you know, they say, what's going on here? Like, what's going on down there in Atlanta? And I was just here on the show, and I think me and Jose said it together on the show, that the Falcons had to win that game up against the Rams while the Rams were struggling. They got blown out at home, and it was so bad that Devontae Freeman tried to fight Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald lifted him up off of his feet like he was a little child. Like what are you guys doing? Like, there's no discipline. Like, nobody has a hand on that team. Quinn, you might end up losing your job midseason. I don't know if you're going to make it to week 17. I doubt it, especially with one win. And the one win that you have was up against the Eagles on a 4th-and-3 play. If Julio didn't get to the house, you guys probably would have lost that game. So this is tough. Seahawks, and I'm going to go with Jose and say the Seahawks defense, I'm going to be bold, pick 6 at least once. At least once, I think they're going to get to the house on them. At least once. I feel like Schaub has been sitting out for years. Like, how did he just get in here and run the show right now? Like, this is tough for me. I'm sorry. So I'm going Seahawks D as well with Jose.
Hey, Todd,
interesting game right here.
I would sit Russell Wilson tonight too because he's gonna have nothing, you know.
I hope you're playing him every
week.
There's
no way that they're sitting Russell Wilson. If you have Russ on your team and you're thinking about sitting him, trade him.
You shouldn't be playing fantasy football, all right?
Call me up. I'll take over your team, then. Russ.
Next time
you're in the fantasy league, and we're gonna do it next year instead of the sports and fantasy league again and get it popping. But if you are and you got Russell Wilson on your roster, just trade him to me immediately. I'll be just fine with him.
I might sit him for the week because I think the running back is gonna. When you have defense, you think the running back have easier game.
I definitely understand the strategy involved in this, but to be honest, Russell Wilson's going to be a QB1 every single week. You should be starting him every single week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can't wait.
That whole team's going to be putting up that in their stats today.
I will give you full props if Russell Wilson slides out of QB1 territory, which means he's not a top. Which means if he's not a top 10 quarterback in fantasy this week, I will give you all props. All props.
He's not gonna have to do much, I believe. That's the only way. If Ty said a pick six, I believe he's not gonna have to do much.
He may not have a lot of yards, but I see him putting up a bunch of touchdowns. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to put these dishes out. They will not get away. And I hate to call y'all dogs, but you know how when the dog looking at you, you got the bag of food, and dog like, Harry, come show me. I want you to put the ball down. This is how I feel when I put one dish out. They made it eat, damn it. I'm telling you, they don't play around with one game. I'm telling you about the game. This is how I feel about it. Like, already the way that the Falcons offense has been non-productive, I feel bad for Julio Jones and the way that he's one of these top three receivers to me still, and they haven't been doing anything, and they got rid of Sanu, so now a lot of pressure. They're probably going to be bracketing him or double covering him off the rip. It's going to be tough for them, and if that defense is on the field, they're already having their issues, especially with Russ scrambling on turf. Oh, jeez. It's going to be tough. Okay, the next matchup I have is the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, James Greenwood's Philadelphia Eagles up against James Greenwood's Buffalo Bills. This is taking place in upstate New York. And this is a very interesting game because the Bills only have one loss up against the Patriots, and the Eagles are trying to turn this season around. I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup. Jose, you will go first. Who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy player?
It's funny how you come to me first. I was watching SportsCenter today, and everyone was talking about how good the Bills was. And I only see one person brought up their strength of schedule. Even though they played the Patriots the best that anybody played all year, they're still, to me, is not a high-tier team. The Philadelphia Eagles are struggling. And I believe that we talk about Atlanta Falcons being a must-win. I think that Philadelphia Eagles are in not a good position. They have to win. They go on the road to play Buffalo, and they're a one-point underdog. And this is where Carson Wentz makes his money with Zach Ertz, and I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. They have to win this game to keep up with the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, who's your guy?
I'm going to go with Zach Ertz today. Zach Ertz.
Interesting. I like that pick. Aaron, how do you feel about this game? Who do you like in your fantasy player?
All right. Well, first of all, I think it bears noting that the forecast up there today does not look pretty. It's supposed to be gross. It's supposed to be very, very windy. It's already a really tough place to play. So, I think it takes kind of a lot of the long balls, the passing games out of play tonight. You'll still see Allen throw it up once or twice to the Eagles team. I'm sure he hasn't gotten out of that phase yet. But I think this is a really close. It's a pick 'em game. Philadelphia, this is, you know, they're going to be on the road for three straight games. They need to keep pace with Dallas, and this is Buffalo's first chance to really prove that it's a legitimate team, it's a legitimate playoff contender. I was feeling a lot better about them until last week when Miami gave them a scare, even though I did call for a little Fitzmagic up there. I think that Ertz is going to be a big play in fantasy today. I think I like Wentz throwing a lot of shorter passes to him. I like him getting in the end zone a couple times, and the Bears have not been playing very well against the pass. So I like Philadelphia in a really close one, and I'm going to go with Ertz as my guy also.
Sports City, we have these two agreeing. Something is going on in the kitchen. See what happens when I tell them to get away from their dishes? I got some good stuff. I got some good stuff, Sports City.
Do you believe in miracles?
I believe in miracles. Yes, I do too. Well, guess what, Sports City? I am not agreeing with either one of them. I'm going with the Bills at home and the fantasy play. Watch this sneaky one. John Brown has a good day. The Eagles secondary has been suspect. And the crazy part about it is they've already started arguing in Philadelphia, including Malcolm Jenkins, Lane Johnson, and, of course, Carson Wentz has been a big piece of the discussion, and they're pointing fingers. I feel like this could be in disarray. And, oh, yes, they just cut Scandrick off of this team, and he's calling them out about the Super Bowl hangover. So the Eagles already have their issues at corner already with corners getting burned as it is, and they got rid of one. I'm going with the Bills at home to keep this moving with their one-loss season. And my fantasy player, like I said, is Brown. James, I'm going to put you in a critical situation because these are both of your teams. Who do you like? And
yes.
Who's the player who's
I love all the teams. I love all the teams. They are all my teams, and that's why. But really, this game here is going to be for the most part about two things: one, who's at home, which is the Buffalo Bills, and two, the injury report. Darren Sproles out, Jason Peters out, Timmy Jerrigan out, DeSean Jackson out. All those are out for this game. That is a huge blow to the Philadelphia Eagles. In a matchup where they are playing against probably a top five defense in the entirety of the NFL. I do like John Brown as a fantasy pick, but as to not be repetitious, I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. I think that the other two are crazy for thinking that the Eagles are going to pull this one out. And but my fantasy player of the game is going to be Devin Singletary. Because I think with the weather conditions, we're going to see a little bit more running, and Devin Singletary is going to be that guy who's going to be getting the bulk of the carries. So I'm going to take Buffalo in this one.
Interesting. He was going to take Brown, too. And it's split. You're right. It's Timeless and James and December Boys up against the AFC East and Big Ten. This is critical. I like how it's going down. Okay. Another interesting game, and somebody has to win. The Chargers go into Soldier Field up against the Chicago Bears, where the Chicago Bears have been in disarray, and I don't want to put this all on their defense because their defense is still stout. I think it's more or less their offensive woes. And the Chargers I don't even know what's going on with the Chargers. Like, if I could put more of this on Phillip Rivers, he's been talking about this, and they're already looking at trying to move on from Phillip Rivers. So will this start to be the last season or the last couple of seasons while Rivers is with the Los Angeles Chargers, especially while they open up that new stadium next year? That'll be interesting. I will go first in this one. I think the Bears take care of business at home. The Chargers have been losing far too much. Their offensive issues, even though they do get Keenan Allen back. Keenan Allen comes back. Oh, and speaking of which, I'm jumping straight into this game, too. I want to know what the heck is going on with DeSean Jackson, too. That's the one thing that James hit on with the injury situation. I'm looking at the injury report for the Bears and the Chargers right now. And Keenan Allen comes back, but DeSean Jackson has been out for quite some time. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I'm going to go with the Bears, and I'm going to go with their defense for sure. I think that they get back there. It's already bad enough that their rush is critical, and Phillip Rivers does not move. Like, he doesn't move. I think Khalil Mack at least three sets. I'll do that. So I'm going Bears and their defense. Jose, I'll come to you next. Who do you like in this matchup and the fantasy pick?
Well, I'm going to agree with you, Ty, with picking the Bears, but I just think I would not pick the Bears defense today. I think that the Chargers put some points on the board with Keenan Allen coming back. I'm going to take the Bears. You know that the Chargers have way too many injuries. The defensive tackle, they got three defensive tackles out. They got a nose tackle out. They got a safety out. They got a running back out. This is not good. I just think it's too many injuries. But, you know, so I'm going to take the Bears, and I'm going to take in a high-scoring game.
And who's your fantasy play?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Trubisky. I don't even know why I'm picking him.
Really?
With all the injuries, he finds his spot, sweet spot today. So, you know, if the Chargers is healthy on defense, then I wouldn't be picking him. So I just think that he'll find his sweet spot in the defense and take advantage of it.
Out of anybody. A lot of people have been worried about Trubisky. That is interesting. Okay, James, your thoughts on this game, and who's your fantasy pick?
So this is a tale of two sides. I mean, like, I really think that the Chargers are a better complete football team. On defense, the Bears are spectacular and probably, I would say, the second best offense in the entirety of the NFL. But their offense is so vapid that it makes me want to make a push for the San Diego Chargers in spite of a really robust injury report that they've got going on right now. You know what? I'm going to go a little crazy today, and I'm going to pick the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers for the win this week against the Bears. I just don't think that the Bears offense can get off the ground. And it's there in the mark my words, looking into next season, I would not be surprised if the Bears make every effort to move up and pick a different starting quarterback. I think Mitch Trubisky's days as the Chicago Bears starting quarterback are going to be done sooner rather than later.
It's going to be hard. That's going to be hard with a lot of
fantasy player. I'm going to go with Austin Eckler. I think a lot of people are really nervous because of the fact that Melvin Gordon's back, but you really shouldn't be because Melvin Gordon has proven exactly nothing. So I think that the Chargers are going to very quickly move the touches to Austin Eckler as he's been outperforming Gordon at this point. So watch out for Austin Eckler to get some serious fantasy points and be a legitimate running back one this game.
Aaron, who do you like in this matchup, Chargers or Bears, and who's your fantasy player?
All right. Well, first of all, you know, we're almost halfway through the season, and so as we get deeper, you start to notice certain trends, certain themes. And as I told Ty, to me, the thing that jumps out, if I had to pick a theme for the season so far, it'd be a quote from my boy Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And if there is one team that fits this to the letter, it is those Chicago Bears. So you never know. They can make you look really good, and they've made fans look really bad. I do think that the fact that the Bears are home is important in this game. We're getting into that time of year where it gets tough to play at home in Chicago. Those fans are going to be out, ready to go. I think Matt Nagy, I self-identified the biggest problem with this team so far in that they have not run the ball. They have not tried to run the ball. And, yes, I agree their defense is getting a little more heat than they deserve because when your defense is on the field for most of the game, I don't care who you have, they're human beings. It's just too much to ask. It is the better part of the team, but I do think that this is the week the offense steps up and helps them out a little bit. Interesting that the Bears are 3-0 when they've had 20 or more running attempts, and they are 0-3 when they have not tried to run the ball 20 times. I think that Matt Nagy knows he needs to run the ball. I think he's going to come out of the gate, and I don't think he's going to go away from it as quick. I think he's going to try and take some of the pressure off Trubisky, who I don't think loses his job. He's one kick and a season removed from an NFC championship appearance in which he played well. He didn't just manage. He played well when it mattered, and I think that buys him another year, especially with this injury. So I'm going to give you two fantasy picks real quick for the Chicago Bears, who are my pick. I think this is a game, David Montgomery, just because he gets a ton of carries. I think he puts up some numbers. And also, as you guys have mentioned, I like the Chargers. I had them coming into the season as one of the better teams in the league, but they've been decimated by injuries. And Phillip Rivers alone cannot carry this team anymore. So I think Allen Robinson is due for a big day, even with Trubisky throwing him the ball. Or like I said, David Montgomery is a good bet this week, maybe even as an RB2.
Okay. It's going down out here where I am right now, and I know that's why I'm running out of here because they are telling me let's go. But this is the matchup of the day for me. The New York Giants go to Ford Field up against the Detroit Lions. Somebody has to get it together. Somebody's team has to get it together. I want to see how you guys feel about this one. Aaron, I'll let you set this one off first. Who do you like in this game and your fantasy picks?
Well, this is it for the Lions. And I've been riding with the Lions most of the season, and they continue to let me down. They're still the king of the almost world and got, you know, beat down pretty handily in a game I thought that they would step up and play well in last week. Stafford did play well. I think sometimes people forget what he has done for that team and that franchise. He's no top-tier quarterback, but Detroit should appreciate that they have him, especially considering their history in quarterbacking. But I do think this is going to be a Saquon day. I think that he's hungry. He's ready to roll. The weather's disgusting. I don't think that either quarterback is going to be able to throw the ball very much or going to try. But
no.
The Lions are going to go into the Meadowlands. And finally, prove me right.
It's in Ford Field. It's inside.
It's
no weather.
Oh, my bad.
It's in Detroit.
Okay. Just kidding. I'm making sure Ty's paying attention. Guys, I'm just making sure Ty's paying attention. So good job, Ty. You're paying attention. Thank you for letting me know. I was going to pick the Lions either way, but I'm going to now go back to Stafford. I think that he's putting some nice weeks together. I do not think that he is an automatic QB1, which is why I am saying we should start him. Kerryon's hurt. I think that Stafford knows that this is a team that they need to beat. They're at home. They need to keep pace with the Vikings and Packers to have any sort of chance at a wild card spot. So I like Stafford and the Lions at home to get it done.
Okay. Jose, who do you like in this matchup in your fantasy play?
Well, I kind of disagree with Aaron I think that the Lions are at home. The Lions' record, they play better than what their record is telling me, you know. I think that Matthew Stafford is definitely a tier one quarterback this week for fantasy football. Shepard is out. It looks like their offense is coming from Tate and Barkley. The Lions, she did say that the Lions, this is it for the Lions. So that's why I would say the Lions get it done today at home, and Matthew Stafford, when he throws over 300 yards.
So we're on the same page.
Look, 6-4-3, I got them. It's reunited, and it feels
and
so
it
good.
Feels so good.
Jimmy, where do we go, Jim? How's it going down in Detroit?
So I'm with everybody else. I think that the Lions are the better football team. I think that especially defensively, they're significantly stronger. They are also healthier at this point than the New York Giants are. All those things put together places the win strongly in the likelihood that the Detroit Lions win at home this week and get things kind of back on track. But really, the Detroit Lions, it's not a question of their out-of-division schedule. They have to win in division if they're going to make the playoffs. Everybody and their uncle picked up Ty Johnson this week off the waiver wires. If he's available in your league, you should probably get him. But I'm going to throw a sneaky fantasy football pick in for everybody today. If you're looking for a flex player and you don't have much available, look for J.D. McKissic to also get a share of the touches this week against the New York Giants. I think that this is going to be a much more of a quarterback or a running back by committee situation than we saw when Kerryon Johnson was healthy. So definitely going Detroit, and J.D. McKissic is my dude.
Well, I did it last week, Sports City, and I was successful. So last week there was a game in which the whole panel went one way when they went with the Seahawks, and I went with the Ravens. So this week I'm going to go with the New York Giants to take care of business inside of Ford Field. I am completely bullcrapping you. I'm not playing around. I'm not even going to do that. I'm joking. I'm going with my boy. I had to look, and I got eyebrows raised in the kitchen. Boy, they got coffee today. I know that. I woke them up. I'm going with the Lions to pull this one off. I've been hurting myself saying Hockenson. I've been wanting this guy to show up too much. I'm getting away from him. TJ, you're going to have to prove it to me on your own time. I'm not going to keep investing in you and everybody trying to compare you to Gronkowski because they just want this Patriot way to work. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going with Golladay in. I think Kenny G goes off and has a good day. I'm going with Golladay to have a good day up against the secondary. Against the Giants. But this is going to be an interesting game. I feel like Saquon is going to be effective. I feel like Danny Jones is going to have a good day too, but I feel like the Lions will pull this one out. That 6-point spread is what has me like scratching my head because it's like it went from 6.5 and it's dropped. So it went from 6.5 to 6. So I wonder what they're up to. The next matchup I have is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're on the road up against the Tennessee Titans. I want to see how you guys feel about this, James. Who do you like in this matchup in your fantasy play?
It sounds kind of weird because he's not really all that good, but I'm starting to believe, Ty. I'm starting to believe in your favorite quarterback in the NFL. And that, sir, is Mr. Ryan Tannehill.
I'm taking the
Tennessee Titans to win tonight, and I think it's just because of weak competition, to be completely honest. I'm not a huge believer in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think they're getting better, and they should give Bruce Arians a couple of years to rebuild that team in his image because he has a proven record of getting that correct. But at the moment, who exactly am I picking here? I kind of have to go with Tennessee because I think that the defense is that good, and they're also at home. I'm taking Tennessee. Fantasy player this game. If this game, I'm gonna be honest, I don't think I would start anybody in this game. Just to be completely honest, Delanie Walker being out, he would be an interesting tight end option, but I really don't like any. I'm going to go with Hunter Henry as a flex, maybe, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. Aaron, who do you like in this matchup in your fantasy play?
All right. Again, not a whole lot to write home about in this matchup. You know, Tennessee's looking to put together back-to-back wins for the first time this season. I think maybe the biggest story out of this game is, you know, Mariota and Jameis Winston coming together however many years later, and they can talk when Jameis is done throwing for the day about how much they have underperformed and how it's likely they will both be moving in this offseason. But with that said, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to get it done. They are going to finally string together back-to-back wins. This is another team I put in that almost category with Detroit. You so badly want them to take the next step. Just when you think they're ready to, they go and lay an egg. But I think they get it done this week. And I do. I have to say, as much as it pains me to say, I think Tannehill has another big day throwing the football. Tampa Bay's pass defense is horrible. They are terrible. They are ranked dead last in the league. I think knowing that, Tannehill is going to get his yards. And as my fantasy pick, I'm going to keep rolling with my man, A.J. Brown. I think especially in a flex position, he's a big guy. He's quick. Tannehill seemed to like him. He had a pretty big week last week. And I think they're developing some sort of camaraderie. And I see Tannehill getting him the ball and then him getting those yards after the catch today and getting in the end zone. So I would not start Tannehill unless you are in a deep league or you have a quarterback who is hurt. But I would, like I said, in maybe a flex or even take a shot on A.J. Brown, who I think is going to end up at the end of the season proving himself as one of the better rookie wide receivers this year.
Okay, Jose, who do you like in this matchup and fantasy play?
I definitely believe Tannehill is going to have an okay game. Let's look at the stat. Tennessee is 0-3-1 when they're favored with the spread. And the Bucs are coming in today, averaging 28 points a game. I think that's too much for Tennessee, even though they are playing at home. So I'm looking forward to the Bucs winning today. And I think that Mike Evans have a multi-touchdown game today.
So you're going with the Buccaneers?
Absolutely, as the underdog.
Whoa, and you got Mike Evans. Interesting. Interesting.
Yep.
I like it. That's interesting. But I'm not jumping off that deep end, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Jose, I somewhat agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucs did pull this off, but I'm going to go with Tennessee to push to 500. I feel bad with agreeing with the two of them because they're picking with me with this Tannehill crap, and I got to go with him. My fantasy player would be Derrick Henry. I think he finally starts to get a good day on the board up against his Buccaneers defense. I'm just clueless on where this Buccaneers defense is gone. So I feel like they have to wake up right now to be 500 to cause that storm in the AFC South. But like I said, I feel like this is going to be one of those nail-biting games. I feel like the Bucs will make this a game. But I'm going with Tennessee.
I'll say one more thing, Ty, about this game. If Tannehill pulls this off, man, it's going to be another quarterback controversy in the NFL. Just another one. Getting rid of Mariota,
At this point, there's no controversy. Mariota's gone.
Yeah, he'll be moving soon. Yeah, he's out house hunting right now.
Wow.
Putting his home up
these
for sale.
These two are brutal. They don't play around. Okay, Sports City, it's time for me to have a little fun in the kitchen. I hope you guys are ready. In which, before I do this game right here, well, I seen the story today. It wasn't on TV, but I watched it today before the show started. If you have not seen the story on Philip Lindsay, please, it is a must-watch. The stuff that he went through to get into the league and what he's doing now and the money that he's receiving, and basically he's the face of the Broncos. To me, Von Miller's there, but Von Miller's trying to leave. Everybody's trying to leave. So to me, Philip Lindsay is Colorado. Forget just Denver. And he's the face of the organization, and he went through almost the same story like Tom Brady did to get to play NFL football. In which, with me saying that, is there anybody in the kitchen that thinks the Broncos can go on the road and beat the Colts in Indianapolis?
Silence.
The silence helps me. So the Colts is everyone. I love that. And James, you know what we call that when that stuff happens, right?
Cricket soup, man. Cricket soup.
A good old batch of that cricket soup. It's cricket soup in the kitchen. Boy, everybody got quiet on that one. So, okay, so let's keep going. I'm having a little fun for City. The Bengals are on the road in Los Angeles up against the Rams. Is there any no, it's not in Los Angeles. This game is being played in London. Let me get that correct. Is there anybody in the kitchen that feels like the Bengals can beat the Rams in London?
Get the chirps out again, man.
Not a chance.
Everybody.
Moving on to the next game.
I'm having a little fun. I'm still having a little fun. Okay,
I was just
doing
my best Belichick impression.
Relax, please. I'm cooking, get in your sweet hands out of my pot and my dishes, please. I'm serving people. Okay, the next one I have. Is there anybody that is bold enough in his kitchen to go with the Cardinals up against the Saints in the Superdome?
You know, can I just say one thing about this one time? Nope.
Oh, wait. Are you going to do the Cardinals? I'll write Jose right now. Are you going to do the Cardinals?
I just want to say one thing. This game is going to be closer than what you guys think. I'm taking the same.
I agree. I was going to say that. Guys, be careful. The world may be coming to an end later today because I was going to verbatim say what Jose just said. That game is going to be closer than expected. It's not going to be decided early, but yeah, Saints all day.
Here's my question.
Finish, I'm going to go.
Exactly how much is closer than you expect? Is it two scores or is it one score or is it
a touchdown?
Three?
Touchdown or less.
Touchdown or less.
I think they beat the Saints.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to try this one more time, okay, Sports City? Cause just for you people at home and people that are listening across the globe, the people that are just here in the kitchen eating. Is there anybody that's bold enough to go with the Cardinals to beat the Saints in the Superdome while Drew Brees is coming back? I rest my case. That is a good old bowl of that cricket soup. Good. Okay, the next matchup we have, this is going to be very interesting because we have one of them in the kitchen. The Jets are on the road up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. This game is interesting. This is an interesting game. Aaron, I'll let you set this one off up against your – no, you know what? I'll put you in the background. James, your game green up against the Jaguars. Who do you like in this matchup and your fantasy play?
So I'm picking the Jaguars. I think they're a much better team than their record would state. And the Jets, I don't think are that, to be completely honest. I'm going to pick as a fantasy player. I guess you'd look for D.D. Westbrook to be a serious flex option this week. Even though he underperformed 2 weeks ago and only performed outside of the wide receiver one conversation last week, DJ Chark is. I would still consider DJ Chark a start, no matter what.
Okay, so you're going with Chark or?
I guess since there's a question on it, I'll take DJ Chark as my fantasy player for this week.
I agree with you. I'm going with the Jaguars, but I think Leonard Fournette has a good day today. He has a breakout game right here. I think he'll go for a buck. I'll put up 100 with Leonard Fournette. Aaron, now I'll let you out. How do you feel about this game? Who wins and your fantasy play?
All right. Well, I did hear rumors that the Jets called the Ghostbusters to head down to Jacksonville to check out the stadium to make sure no one was seeing ghosts. They went so deep, they called both the male and the female Ghostbusters down there, cleared the entire stadium full of ghosts. No seeing dead people. They were worried it's Halloween week, so they told their boy Sam Darnold, don't worry, we're right here, we got your blankie, you'll be okay. Even though, with that said, I'm going with the Jaguars. I think they are better than their record. I think they've finally kind of gotten all the drama behind them. The Jets are, you know, the hot mess express, I hate to say it, coming into town. And I like Minshew as my fantasy pick. Nick Foles came back to practice this week. I'm very outspoken about how much I like Minshew, his attitude, his approach to just life and the game in general. So he's the type that is going to light an even bigger fire under him. And he knows that he has got to step up and shut the door on Nick Foles, play, win these games, put up the numbers. So I'm going with Minshew this week as my fantasy player in Jacksonville with the win.
They
are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
I gotta add one thing. Gardner Minshew seems like the quarterback that Baker Mayfield was supposed to be.
Good point.
You know, kind of putting that out there.
I absolutely. I actually agree.
Aaron, I apologize. I just got the message. I'm sorry. I just looked at it right now. I didn't.
It's all
okay,
good.
You did. You did it perfect. That's awesome stuff. Okay, Jose. She's not playing with you. She's throwing left hooks and right hooks. Who do you like?
I just wanted to say it was not Tom Brady who beat the New York Jets. It was the Patriots defense. Let's be real about
it. That's the beauty of it, is Tom Brady doesn't have to beat these teams.
we got Tom Brady down to so many third downs that we played well. Now, who is going to do that for the Jacksonville Jaguars? The Jets are still number two in the league in stopping the run. I'm disgusted with this spread. It doesn't make sense. They're going to make up for this loss last week. You know, they're going to throw it out the window, rip it up, put it in the garbage can.
Hey, it
the
can't
Patriots
get any worse, man.
Well. The Patriots got a great defense. I'm not giving – listen to me. They got a great defense. I think it's just they only gave up three offensive touchdowns all year. So let's not put all of that on Tom Brady, and let's not all bring that Sam Darnold down, because he's going to get it done today. And my fantasy player is the bell. The bell has rung in Jacksonville. I just want to bring all the jokes down here.
You're going with the Jets, and you're going with Le'Veon, right?
I sure am, sir. I'm sure I am.
Okay, we have another interesting matchup of the day. My popcorn is ready for this one. Panthers-Niners, this is taking place in California. Who do you guys have? I'm going to go first. I'm going to stick with the Niners to keep rolling. I think this defense has actually been helping Garoppolo stay on the field, and I think Garoppolo's been taking it somewhat competitive with this trade to keep pace with the Patriots. I think that they remain unbeaten. And the Panthers have had a good run up until this part, but I feel like they have a lot to prove, especially up against this defense. But I'm going with the Niners, and you know what? I feel like Garoppolo is a start against this Panthers defense. I'll do that. I'll do Jimmy G. So I'll go Niners and Jimmy G to get this one done. James, your thoughts on this game, and who's your fantasy pick?
So this is by far the hardest game that the hardest team the San Francisco 49ers have had to fight this far. This is for the vast majority, a healthy Carolina Panthers team. The only ones that are of note is Cam Newton's obviously still out, and Greg Little, the offensive tackle, is still out, but they've been out for a while and that has not seemed to stop anybody since the Kyle Allen era started in Carolina. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers do have an extensive injury report list. I still have to go with San Francisco. It pains me a little bit. I know our friend, Breaking News Hughes, is loving life right now. So I almost don't want to do it, but I'm going to pick San Francisco to win at home. But this one's going to be a less than a field goal game. This game is going to be decided by less than 3 points. But yeah, I'm taking San Francisco for the win here. And my fantasy player is I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders, brand new player just traded to San Francisco.
Really?
Because they've been desperate for wide receivers for a while. This is the first legitimate wide receiver one that they've had for quite a long time. I'm going to go with Emmanuel Sanders to kind of show up this week against the Panthers.
Interesting. Jose, who do you like in this game and your fantasy player?
Well, I definitely agree with James saying this is going to be the toughest game for the 49ers. But the only thing is, I don't believe that this is going to be even a tough enough game just because of the young quarterback. And this, not, I was about to say Chicago, but the 49ers defense, I think it's too much for for Allen today. I'm definitely picking the 49ers, and I'm not going to pick a fantasy player. I'm just going to tell you, the defensive line of the 49ers is going to shake him up. And McCaffrey, I will sit him today as well, even though, just like a Russell Wilson, I would sit him today. See if Brandon's going to have to play.
Okay, Aaron, who do you like in this game of your fantasy player?
All right, well, first of all, I want to just shout out everyone up there in Northern Cali. We, you know, as you know, they're dealing with something way bigger than football with these fires. People are getting their power shut out to try and prevent it. I mean, it really puts things in perspective and just makes me appreciate that I'm here sitting in my house ready to watch these games today. With that said, this is another game where the weather is going to be a major factor. Apparently, the wind out there is pretty bad. They have wind gusts up at 40 miles per hour, and also the air quality, from what I understand, is very, very poor. It's going to have an impact on everyone. I have not bought into San Francisco this far in the season. I have not picked them to win many games. They have proven me wrong. So this week, I am going to roll with the 49ers. I would love to see this game played in good conditions, in good weather, and see what happens. But I do think that this is a week where Allen proves, Kyle Allen shows that he is a young rookie quarterback. I think it's going to be a very, very low scoring game. I think the kickers are going to be a factor in this game. It's going to come down to a missed field goal or a made field goal here or there, especially with that wind. So I'm picking San Francisco. I mean, we could see another 9-0 baseball score or something like that. So I'm going to go with San Francisco, and believe it or not, I'm going to go with their defense. I would not sit McCaffrey. You cannot, the way I play fantasy is you roll with your studs. They're not going to put up ridiculous numbers every week, but he has not had one down week. And so until he does, I don't see how you can sit him, but I do think this is going to be his most difficult week, and especially with the air quality. So start San Francisco's defense if you got him in on the bench.
I always say that.
And here's the real thought on that. Like, when it comes to Christian McCaffrey, you've got two running back slots and a flex spot. There's no way Christian McCaffrey is going to get beaten out on your team by all three of those positions. It's just a ridiculous thought.
You just don't sit him. You probably took him number one. You're number one player.
You're not sold on San Fran's defensive line then.
Oh, no, I'm picking San Fran's defense as my fantasy start. I don't know who you're talking to.
If I'm sold.
They're
going to shut McCaffrey down, don't you think?
No,
but he'll find a way. I think it could be one.
I didn't know who you talked to, but he's gonna have way too many opportunities to because fantasy football is much more about opportunity than actual in-game production. So he's gonna have a lot of catches. So in PPR leagues, he's a absolute gold mine. I know because I have him in a PPR league, and it's amazing every single week. So even if he gets, even if you're right and they really shut him down in the run game. He's still going to catch balls. They're going to give him, you know, screen passes. They're going to give him passes out into the flat. And every single catch he makes, whether or not he actually makes any yards, is still worth about 5 yards. So with that said, I don't really think that San Francisco is going to shut down Christian McCaffrey. He's playing out of his mind. He's playing like the best running back in the NFL right now. So I'd be very surprised if they shut him down to less than 12 fantasy points, which, you know, when we're talking about running backs, that would put him strictly in the RB2 category. They're not going to knock him out of a starting position.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just to really quickly sum it up. Never mind. Let's move on.
Okay. The next game I have is the Browns versus the Patriots. This is taking place in Gillette, and where it is wet here in the New England area region. However you want to look at it, They have this spread at 10.5. This feels funny to me because it's wet outside. So I don't know if the Patriots do light this scoreboard up. But if anybody feels like the Browns can pull this off in Massachusetts, speak now or forever hold your peace. Wow, this is a lot of good business today. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Thomas.
It's
Brady,
just like when people ask
Thomas.
In the chat.
No, go ahead. Say what
go
you're
going
to say.
No, I was going to
no,
say,
no, say
it's
what
like when people ask if they – Yeah, it's just like when people ask if they think the Jets are going to win this week. Crickets.
Wow. Wow.
This is critical. Look, and this is the bad part that I just heard reports that today Brady is leaving it up to his family to see if he plays after this season. So Brady is already mulling retirement. This is interesting. So he's making these statements. Okay, the next matchup we have are the Raiders versus the Texans. This is taking place in Houston. Is there anybody that feels like the Raiders can go into Texas and pull this off up against the Houston Texans?
You're not fooling me this week, Ty. Nope.
Me either. I got burned last week.
So wait, hold on. So we have to. So Aaron and James are Raiders, right?
No.
I'm saying I went with the Raiders last week, and they burned me. They made me look silly. I picked them in Lambeau, so I am not going to make the same mistake. I'm picking the Texans for sure.
Okay. Are you going with your Raiders? Okay. I'm just making sure. So let me try this again, since they both want to jump out their skin. Is there anyone that's in this kitchen that feels like the Raiders can go into Texas and knock off the Texans? Yeah, I like it. I like these. This is what we need. This is what we need. Okay, the game of the evening, people. The Green Bay Packers go into Arrowhead up against the Mahomes-less Chiefs. Even though that offense still has a lot of weapons, there is no Patrick behind center. I want to see how you guys feel about this matchup. I'll start with you first, Aaron. Who wins this game and your fantasy player?
I'm picking the Packers. I think that, you know, I've mentioned Matt Moore is a serviceable quarterback. He's a game manager. But you've got Aaron Rodgers rolling in, coming in hot. And I have taken a while to buy into this Packers team, and I have been missing one key point. And you guys have been bringing it up a lot, and that Aaron Rodgers is healthy. He's buying into this team. He bought into the head coach. They're getting along. All is well in Aaron Rodgers' land. And then if that's the case, all is well with the Packers. I do not think that a Matt Moore-led team with that defense is going to be able to shut Aaron Rodgers and the Packers down. In terms of a fantasy, I'm going to go with someone from the losing team. I know he is a starting tight end you go with every week, but I do think Travis Kelce is going to have an enormous game because I think they're going to try and throw a lot of short balls to him, have him get some yards after the catch, just get Matt more comfortable and get the ball out of his hands quickly. So there's my fantasy pick, but I like the Packers to win the game.
I'm going with the Packers as well. I'm going with the running back Jones as a fantasy pick. I think that he can have a good day up against a questionable Kansas City defense. I feel like he will be effective in this game. Jose, who do you like in this matchup in your fantasy play?
I'm just agree with you guys and go with Green Bay. There's something that doesn't make sense in this game. Why is Green Bay only a 5-point favorite with Mahomes on the bench? And Kansas City gives up so many points, it's not making any sense. But I'm not going to do it. Like last week when they played the Raiders, I got burned. So I'm going to go with Green Bay this week. And I'm just take Green Bay's defense. I'm definitely gonna have to.
Interesting. If they can slow that offense down, they are Super Bowl bound. Damn it. And it's without Patrick Mahomes, so I see where you're going. I like it. Interesting, James. Who do you like with this pick and your fantasy play?
Okay, so I'm gonna make a brief comment first. Is Aaron Rodgers and the damn Green Bay Packers the luckiest football team in the history of the NFL right now? This is absolutely gross. Oh, hey, we're going to get two very lucky calls against the Detroit Lions. Well, lucky, wink, wink, you know what I'm saying. Then they're going to say, oh, man, this is going to be a tough matchup coming up next week. Oh, Patrick Mahomes is out. Oh, how fortuitous for us. This is an incredibly overrated 5-1 football team. But I'm still picking them to win this game because Patrick Mahomes isn't playing. If Patrick Mahomes was playing, this would not even be a question for me. But right now, you have to pick the Green Bay Packers in this game. Fantasy player of the game? I don't even know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is an obvious start every week, and this week's no different. But Davante Adams is probably not playing in this game, so probably Marquez Valdez-Scantling, maybe? Because you really don't know which one of those two running backs that Green Bay is currently trotting out there is going to be the guy from week to week, so I wouldn't touch either one of them. Obviously, from the losing side, definitely look for both your usual stars to continue production. Tyreek Hill is going to still get his. Travis Kelce is still getting his, so you're still starting both of them. And if I are going to pick a fantasy player for this game that's even remotely questionable, start Tyreek Hill. He's going to blow something out, and get 10 points on one amazing play.
So who is your fantasy guy?
Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
You might get a lot of quick screens today.
All right, so we are going to walk out the door with this one. I got one more dish to serve. Does anybody feel like the Dolphins can go into Heinz Field and get their first win of the season?
I love it.
Okay. There we have it. Everyone is going with the Steelers. I feel bad for the Dolphins, man. I really do, man. But if don't nobody want to play down there, just fold it up, man. Just tell them they don't want to play, man. I need plugs and close off some each of you so we can get out of this kitchen as best as possible. I will start with you first, Jose. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down. Here in the kitchen.
Oh, well, I'm glad you came to me first, man. My shout out is to Tiger Woods. Go out there today and finish it off. You could be, he could tie history today. He could be have the tie for the most wins in the PGA Tour. He has his 3-stroke lead. Go Tiger.
Okay, James, you already know what to do around this time. Shut it down as we leave the brunch.
This was actually kind of the calm before the storm. The games are going to start getting better and better and better as the season goes on. I'm sure that the games aren't nearly as easy as we're kind of predicting them to be. But at the end of the day, I enjoy being here. It's a great time. And shout out to a decade of Sports City Chefs, man. I love it every single time.
Slow down. We got at least a month. Chill. Don't do that to me just yet. I got 34 and 6. We got 40 days. We got exactly 40 days before I start talking that anniversary stuff. Slow down now. Aaron, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch.
All right, Jose, it's getting scary now because I was going to give a shout out to the old guys. I was. Tiger Woods, go
Tiger
out
Woods.
And do your thing, man. I have met him a few times. I have seen him in action as a father. I love a good rehabilitation story. I have seen him putting in the work physically in every sense of the word. So go out, do your thing. And Roger Federer, another one of the old guys, won his 10th Basel, Switzerland title today. For those of you who aren't tennis people, that's a big tournament. To win any tournament 10 times in a career is unbelievable. And to do it at 40 years old when most of us, you know, I'm in my 30s and need about 10 minutes just to get out of bed in the morning. So how those two do it boggles my mind. It's incredible. Shout out to them. And Tiger, bring it home.
Bring it home, Tiger.
Look at this, Sports City. I done got these two together. This is crazy. I feel some type of way. They AFC East love, Big Ten love. They up here showing love.
I
got to
go
they
buy a lotto them. Ticket or something. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know what's going on in the kitchen today, but you've been cooking up something strange and putting in our coffee. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I told you I'm trying to get them to work together, man. See, I'm doing this. Sports City, I might have to go to D.C. and talk to – no, I'm not going to do that. Sports City, stay tuned. We will be trying to get more shows in progress throughout the week. I think we may be coming up with something Tuesday or Wednesday. If not, Thursday and Friday with the cafe and the airing the time of the show on Friday that's been doing well as well. I'll stay tuned. Stay focused with everything we got going. I got to run, Sports City, because these people are hitting me up left and right. Like, where you at? Hurry up and get out here. Big Blue, F the Big Blue. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.